Welcome into the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And this week's episode, we'll be talking about NFL Week 16. Also, we'll have a preview of NFL Week 17. We'll have our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. We will talk about the first round of the expanded college football playoff. And we'll have our best for last. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the social media handle at JTime Sports. I repeat, at JTime Sports. Follow your breaking news, updates, and coverage. Now, as always, don't forget to sit back and get ready to learn something.
JTS. Yeah. Just In Time Sports.
Life is good.
Look, this is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die is where I'm from, I can't replace it. Some people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake. Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. He gon' tell it to you straight,
Welcome into the show. Welcome into season 5, episode 34 of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. As you heard in the intro, I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. We're going to have a lot of football today, a lot of NFL, a lot of college football. If you're a big basketball fan, might not be the episode for you. However, if you are a big basketball fan, you just want to generally learn about more football, this is the spot for you because we're going to dive right into NFL Week 16. We're going to start off with our Monday night preview, Saints at Packers. Packers are a huge 14.5-point favorites. Me personally, I don't see this game being very close. My wife's a Saints fan, so we'll keep our eye on it. Probably watch it for a quarter and a half, especially if the Saints keep it competitive. However, I don't see this game being much struggle for the Packers. Alvin Kamara's out. Derek Carr is out. You're looking at, you know, the Saints are on the second string of very below-average NFL receivers. You're looking at Spencer Rattler, who should not be playing NFL football right now or should not be starting NFL games. And the Saints are doing stuff like sitting in the walk-through cooler in a kitchen, in an industrial kitchen, to get prepared for the cold because it's like 10 degrees in the cooler. So they went and did the entire rundown, you know, potentially about 45 minutes to an hour sitting in the cooler. I mean, it's just stuff like that they're trying to prep for. Dome team going to a Green Bay field, a bad dome team going to the frozen tundra. This is a recipe for disaster if you're the New Orleans Saints. If you're the Green Bay Packers, this is a get right, get healthy game. This is a game that you want to, first of all, get right. So if you have a weakness, you say, man, we're really bad. I mean, it's something incredibly specific, but all season we've been bad at protecting against short routes to the field. You really want to focus in this game on stopping short routes to the field. You know, if you say, hey, we've been really bad at picking up the backside guy on power or whatever, you know, you really want to see that executed today. So get a right game and also get healthy game. If you got any guys with nicks, injuries, or bruises, you strongly consider either restricting them, either refusing to allow them to play, or having a heavy body play count on them, rather, to ensure that they get out of the game healthy. So the Packers can use this more of a live practice. The New Orleans Saints can use this as an opportunity to scout for next season. But like I said, I don't see this game being close by any means. 14.5 points. Feels big as far as a bet. It's a bet I wouldn't make because it is 14.5. That's asking for a 30-10 game and, you know, Rattler hit or 30 to 7 game or 30 to 10 game. Yeah, I had it right. 30 to 10 game. And then the Rattler hit somebody late in the end zone, 30-17. And now you've missed out on a bet, even though it wasn't a close game at all. So 14.5 feels a bit large to lay down. However, I do expect this to be to victory for the Packers by at least 2 touchdowns. But anyway, let's get into the games that was the Chiefs. At the Chiefs battled the Texans in Kansas City. This was a very typical Kansas City-like game this season, where it got to about 10 minutes left in the fourth, and I was saying to myself, I was at a family gathering, I was saying to myself, Texans got to score here. Because if they don't, they're never going to really get a chance at it again. And the Texans went down, didn't get it in, and it was just very stereotypical Chiefs. They just boiled the clock. And they went into the fourth up 8, and they left the fourth up 8. They took advantage of a Chiefs team that has a second-year head coach and second-year quarterback. And also just the situational awareness that the Chiefs have. They've been doing this for years at this point, and the end of that game felt like the end of a lot of Chiefs' close games. Number one, the Chiefs won. Number two, the opposing team offense seems to just die on the vine as far as trying to bounce back. And number three, it was the prototypical example of how you control the clock and the ball. It feels like in 3 downs, the goal is 10, and it felt like their goal was 11. And they were just barely getting first, barely getting across, and it wears down a defensive unit if you're just every 3 plays counts for 11 yards. You're never behind the chains and you're constantly going forward, but it's not explosive, so you're just on the field. Absolutely ingenious game plan by the Chiefs and execution, especially late. The Houston Texans, man, that was an opportunity that they're going to look back on and go, how didn't we get it done? You know, we held them pretty much coreless for over, you know, for a good chunk of the game, maybe 30% of the game, 35% of the game, and you're going to look and be like, how did we lose? You know, when did we lose? It's going to be the main kicker. It's when did we lose and how did we lose? And that's something that the Chiefs, as a young team, they just got to figure out how to win, you know? Patrick Mahomes came in with Andy Reid. He had pretty much seen every scenario that he was going to see. So, therefore, he had a little bit more veteran experience to lean on. D'Amico Ryan's second-year head coach. CJ Stroud's second-year quarterback. They haven't seen everything the NFL is going to throw at them. And so, therefore, they have to continue to work together. But the Texans, again, a very large missed opportunity that they're going to regret. Big time later in the season. Ravens take down the Steelers in one of, if not the most blood-boiled, hate-filled college-style rivalry in the NFL. The Ravens and the Steelers. I don't even think they've conducted a inter-team trade in over a decade for sure. I mean, this thing boils down to pure unbridled hatred. It's like when players change sides, go from Steelers to Ravens, Ravens Steelers, a la Patrick Queen, you looked at like, oh my God, you're Benedict Arnold. Like, you may be worse than Benedict Arnold. You're the scum of the earth. There's 30 other teams out there. Why that one? And it's in the AFC North. It's the closest division as far as distance. It's a division with the most, like, I mean, there's several interstates. You split, you go to one city in the AFC North, and the other split, another part of the split goes to the other city in the AFC North. You know, the Cleveland Browns, the original Browns, became the Ravens. And when the new Browns came back, they got the naming rights back. But, like, the original Browns is who the Baltimore Ravens are. Like, there is just tons of history and interconnectedness in that division. And it's one of those games where records don't matter, momentum don't matter, play style don't matter. They're going to figure it out because there's no tips, there's no trades, there's no none of that. When the Ravens and the Steelers get together, and it was another great battle on Saturday. You saw a lot of Lamar Jackson. You saw a lot of Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, in many people's eyes, took a step towards the MVP in that battle. And Russell Wilson, you know, showed some of his limitations. He threw a bad pick six that cannot happen. Definitely threw a bad pick six, which was not great. All but ended the game, truly. But those two teams battled it out. Those two sides battled it out. Lamar Jackson's a little bit better than Russell Wilson right now. And that is ultimately the difference. As great and great and motivator as Mike Tomlin is, and we're going to talk about Hard Knocks a little bit more a little bit later. But you can't make up that level of a talent difference just for pure motivation. Again, it's a rivalry game, so you kind of tend to throw out some of the stereotypical factors. But at a certain point, this game is about Jimmy's and Joe's. And the Steelers, Jimmy and Joe's, is better than the Falcons, then better than the Ravens, Jimmy's and Joe's. The Ravens, Jimmy's and Joe's are just flat out better right now than the Steelers, Jimmy's and Joe's. All right, moving out of AFC North into the NFC East, the Washington Commanders and future Rookie of the Year, because I told you so, Jaden Daniels dropped 36 on the Eagles. But here's the thing. They dropped 36 on the Eagles despite having five turnovers. Like, this is the second game this year where the team has had five turnovers and won. The Lions overcame five turnovers against the Texans, who we just talked about against the Chiefs, and then the Commanders overcome five against the Eagles. Now, some people say Jalen Hurts got knocked out of the game, and that's returned it. The Eagles still scored 33 points. The Eagles still got five turnovers. If I score 33 points and I force five turnovers, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, I should win the game. But Jaden Daniels kept coming. He kept coming. He kept coming. He refused to lose and showcased off a lot of talent, including his arm and his legs. If you're the Eagles, you're in the process of holding your breath in a way because Jalen Hurts is out with a concussion. Kenny Pickett has injured ribs. So I'm not even sure who the third quarterback is, but hopefully he's ready to go because there's a good chance that Hurts is out and Pickett's 50%. You know, or they're both out. And so you got to hope that he's ready to go. Be able to win you a couple football games. But absolutely spectacular showing by Jaden Daniels. The Rookie of the Year race is over. It was very cute that it was Bo Nix for a couple of weeks. That was great. And I always got on here and got on the media's aspirations for having a white guy be the MVP. I get it. I understand. However, Jaden is undeniable. And he was ultimately undeniable last night as he just refused to give in and to lose against the Philadelphia Eagles, especially at home. The Minnesota Vikings took their show on the road, took their damaging and downright disrespectful defense on the road to the Seattle Seahawks in a hell of a game. This is a game that Sam Darnold, I say prior to this year, would probably lose this game about 20. He won this game. He played a great football game, all things considered. The weather was not great. You had a guy in Geno Smith who felt like, you know, he was just going to be just this guy today. I mean, Geno Smith made big play after big play. He ultimately forces Darnold in order to be an elite level quarterback in order to win the game. Because Geno Smith goes 31-43, three touchdowns. He had two back-breaking picks. Darnold goes 22-35, 246, three touchdowns. He was just incredibly efficient. He was incredibly on the money. He had a couple of lasers to Jordan Addison, a beautiful pass to Justin Jefferson. And so these passes are not easy. They were just layered in and lasered in very well by Darnold, who seems to be loving Kevin O'Connell's system. And if you're the Seahawks, this doesn't end you, but it hurts. Because now the Seahawks are down a game. They have to go win out, in my opinion, to make it to the playoffs. And winning out the last two games is not hard, but one of those two games happens to be, or one of those three games happens to be a Vikings team at home. You've got to take that game. So, it's plain and simple. Not the world's best loss for the Seahawks, but it's just not great. But for the Minnesota Vikings, the one seed in the NFC is still very much alive and well, and they're going to continue to play for that. However, in much more shocking news, and again, the Vikings being a number one seed contender before the season would have been mind-blowing. You might have won a lot of money on FanDuel or ESPN bet had you placed that bet. However, you didn't. No one did. Not even the Vikings. So, something else that is a little bit more intriguing is the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals still have a way into the playoffs. And I don't mean like, you know, if a meteor hits the right side of the planet at exactly 9:58 and the Bengals win by exactly 22 points. Like, no. Not one of those situations. I mean, a legitimate path. Like, they had to win out and then the Broncos lose one game and then I forgot exactly the path, admittedly. However, it was a very legitimate path to get in. Let me see if I can find it really quickly. Maybe not. But the Bengals have a very legitimate shot of getting in. But first, their first order of business is they have to win out. Okay, so entering week 17, so entering next week, the Bengals have to win out. Easy peasy lemon squeeze. Okay? Then the Broncos have a week 18 game versus the Chiefs. Now, that game could be interesting because the Chiefs have the one seed. It's a good chance they may rest. Now, it's a good chance they may rest their players. Now, if the Chiefs were to lose, let's say, on Christmas Day to Pittsburgh, they would have to play Week 18 to keep the Bills away from the one seed. The Colts have to lose to either the Giants or the Jaguars. To me, that's the hardest part of the puzzle. And then the Dolphins have to lose to either the Browns or the Jets. So, it's a path. It is a slim path. But it is path, and it's a path that is very much on the table. It actually was a lot less steps in it very recently. Entering week 16, there was less steps to it, but I think a couple of the losses changed the scenario and changed a couple of the prediction. But the Bengals have a chance to get in. So, you know, Burrow and Chase, I think they're going to win out. Now, whether they get the necessary help, we're going to find out. The Broncos having to lose to the Chiefs specifically is going to make it a little bit harder because, again, if the Chiefs have the one seed locked up, I don't see Andy Reid playing a lot of his starters. And then at that point, it's Broncos playing for their lives versus the Chiefs who just sleepwalking through the game. But that'll be a very interesting scenario there. And check out the MVP race. So Saquon Barkley puts his name on it. I think Lamar Jackson actually took a step forward in the race. I still think it's between those three. I don't think anybody's going to come in between those three, Allen, Lamar, and Saquon. I think Saquon was on the way to a hell of a day. And then Jalen Hurts got hurt. They kind of threw off the game plan a little bit. They were able to load the box a little bit more and slow him down. But I think Saquon was going to have one of them days where it's like, you know, 220-something plus. Eagles win by 20, and you're like, oh, okay, Saquon Barkley's real. His MVP chances are real. Josh Allen laid an egg by his standards against the New England Patriots, especially in that first half. So Lamar Jackson, while he didn't have the world's best eye-popping numbers, he still got the win over division rival. And he still had a good enough day where it's going to take somebody to do something historic or near historic for Allen to be overtaken in 1 week. So huge situation was going down there with the MVP. I'd say right now my MVP is Lamar, probably second to be Saquon, thirdly to be Josh Allen. But up next, we're going to shift to NFL Week 17. Welcome into the show and welcome into NFL Week 17. After tonight, we will officially have 2 weeks left of the regular season. It gets started on a good Wednesday. It gets started on a Wednesday as the NFL has now fully ventured into Christmas, trying to rob the NBA blind of the one foothold it had, which was Christmas Day. And there's 2 games on. Ironically, the 4 teams, or maybe smartly, the 4 teams that play Saturday play Wednesday. Because rest-wise, that is the equivalent of going from a Sunday to a Thursday. They're just shifting everything up a day. So instead of Sunday, it's Saturday. Instead of Thursday, it's Wednesday. But they are, the Chiefs go at the Steelers. And then the Ravens go at the Texans. He spoke ad nauseum about all 4 of these teams. So I won't divulge into the team aspect of it. Neither one of these games are in Jack's pack, so I can pick them both. I think the Chiefs ultimately come out alive against the Steelers, and I use the phrase "come out alive" very specifically because I think the Steelers are going to make it tough, rough, and physical, especially if there's any sort of limp in Patrick Mahomes and hitching his giddy up, anything that could be a possible target for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I strongly believe they're going to do that. Now, I believe that Mahomes gets it done, but I believe he gets it done ugly and he gets it done late. And then the Ravens at the Texans, our other Christmas Day game. Beyonce is performing at one of these games, not sure which. This is a game where I'm not sure where the emotions of the Texans are. You just saw your brother's knee, Tank Dell, get absolutely wrecked. And you just came back from an injury. You're finally starting to get your feet under you. And then, boom, friendly fire, your knee's a wreck. And now you're standing up at an operating table going, how did I get here again? But then if you're the Baltimore Ravens, hey, man, you've got to keep chasing down that division, it's going to be a very aggressive division. It always has been, always will be, but it's even more so whenever the teams in it are good. And so I think that the Ravens are going to have to continue to be physical, continue to be tough, run the ball with Derrick Henry, use Zay Flowers in the pass game. It doesn't get much better. It just doesn't get much better than Ravens at Texans, Chiefs at Steelers on Christmas Day back to back. That's pretty dope. So 2 huge games. I've got the Ravens in this game, although it's gonna be close. I think it might be a Tucker late field goal kind of close. It's gonna be really close. Texans are at home. Again, I wonder about their emotional state, but the Chiefs aren't built to blow anybody out. So I'm sorry, the Ravens are built to blow people out, but not in passing situations. So I think D'Amico Ryan's going to try and make Lamar Jackson beat him in the pocket with his arm, which is going to open up the opportunity for the receiving core. The Broncos at the Bengals. It's in my Jack's pack. It will not be picked. This is the game because the Broncos have to lose their last 2. Plain and simple. Well, the Broncos play the Bengals. So, Bengals win, Broncos lose. That automatically takes, one-fifth of the scenario down. And then the Broncos have to turn around and lose again to the Chiefs in Week 18. But the Broncos at the Bengals. I mean, this has potential to be an all-time stinker. And it happened to be a dud. It's a random moment. Sean Payton has duds. Zachary Taylor's life has been a dud. And it's just, there's going to be certain opportunities where you're looking up and like, man, nothing's really happened for the past like 12 minutes. And it's just like, yep. But then there's also going to be just as much, if not more, potential for back-to-back-to-back-to-back explosive plays. So it is going to be very interesting to see the difference between the Broncos and the Bengals. Again, I would not pick this game because it isn't Jack's pack. However, it's going to be a very intense, very critical game as the Broncos can eliminate the Bengals from the playoffs. Packers at Vikings. A game that is not in my Jack's pack, so I can't pick it. I've got the Vikings here. Now, this game has been flexed from the noon slot to the 3:25 slot for Central Time. 1 o'clock to 4:25 if you're Eastern. So absolutely tremendous game, tremendous flex by the NFL, flexing the Packers and the Vikings. This is going to be a very hotly contested contest. Again, you're looking at division opponent. Now, it's not as divisional as the AFC North, as this is the NFC North. However, it's still got that northern, you know, that northern mentality where, you know, you're going to have to battle. You're going to have to scrap. We're talking about hard-nosed areas. I mean, Minneapolis is a little glassy, technologically advanced. Green Bay's not. We're talking about typically hard-nosed areas. We're talking about typically physical areas. And so, because of which, in order to win this game, you're going to have to be physical. You're going to have to be tough. I think that the Vikings are just a little bit tougher right now than the Green Bay Packers, especially the Packers coming off what should be a very easy win tonight. May get them a little lazy, a little comfortable. Falcons at Commanders. Now, this game isn't on Jack's pack as well, so we will not pick it. However, this is a big game for both of these parties. If you're the Commanders, you have to have locked up your playoff seat with the last victory. However, if you are the Falcons, you still have to get in the playoffs. Your opponent is literally tied with you in terms of record. And I won't say opponent, I meant to say competition. And on competition, I'm looking at Tampa Bay Buccaneers for fear of the Falcons. Now, the Falcons own their way in. They have the advantage. They win, they're in. It's just as simple. They win their last two, they're in. There's nothing Tampa can do about it. They lose one game, it's back in Tampa's hands. New Orleans is out. Carolina is out. So it's a two-team race for the division. Both of them will not make it. The division winner only will make it out of the NFC South. If you're the Falcons, you're Michael Penix Jr., you have to go win these games because, again, you are right there. You win these last two, you are in the playoffs. This game would have been cool from a nostalgia perspective because it would have been Kirk Cousins going back to Washington. Unfortunately, we will not get that, so that sucks. But all in all, it's still kind of fun in order to enjoy this game that's going to be. Like I said, a lot matters. Washington's trying to clinch their playoff spot. Atlanta's trying to continue to control their own destiny to win the division and host the first-round playoff game. So, absolutely huge, huge, huge game with the Falcons at the Commanders. And then the Lions at the Niners. Again, another game in Jack's pack. So we would not pick it. But this is a game. This feels trap gamey. If you're the Lions, you're guarding against trap game syndrome. You have the ability to get the number one seed now. Philadelphia lost. So now the Lions should have the inside track at getting the number one seed because, again, one of your biggest hurdles, if not your biggest hurdle, was the Philadelphia Eagles. They lost. So they lost, and their quarterback is concussed. So it is a double whammy of unfortunateness if you are the Philadelphia Eagles. However, if you're not the Philadelphia Eagles, you're in a great spot. So what I mean is, let's go to the NFC. So the Detroit Lions now are a game up in they're now a game up on the Philadelphia Eagles in regards to the number one seed having that inside track to the playoffs. However, they're exactly tied with the Minnesota Vikings. So, but they own the tiebreaker based on head-to-head. So now the Detroit Lions have to win out to win the conference, or at least have to match the Minnesota Vikings. If the Detroit Lions stumble, Vikings win out, then the Vikings are your number one seed. Because their record currently is better than the Philadelphia Eagles, too. The only reason why they're not the second seed is because they happen to be in the same thing as Detroit. But guess what? Week 18, Vikings at Lions. For the potential at the number one seed, because especially if Philly, you know, loses again, for instance, but that game could be for all the marbles and the number one seed. Absolutely huge, huge game of week 18. But for the San Francisco 49ers, this is a gut check kind of game. This is a gut check kind of game. What I mean by gut check is, you know, you're out of the playoffs, right? You've been beat up with injuries all year, right? But who's going to come and bring their lunch pail to work and still want to fight? And who's going to just lay down and roll over and shouldn't be a part of the San Francisco 49ers next season? So that's going to be absolutely huge for the Niners' term evaluation. And for the Lions, you're continuing to, again, potentially hold the inside track to the one seed. But up next, we're going to shift to our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. Welcome back into the show. And now we're going to get into NFL Jack's Pack, our NFL betting segment. And absolutely great week last week. We went 4-1. We haven't gone 4-1. It feels like for a while. I think we went 3-2 last week. We had those strings of 2-3s. We had that 1-4 that came out of nowhere. We had the 1-3-1. It was rough for a few weeks there. However, we got back into our winning ways, going 4-1 last week, bringing our record to 43-34, which, get that percentage for you 1 second. 43 divided by 77, 56%. So we're at 56%, which is exactly where we want to be. Could be in a professional gambler, you want to be at 56% or higher. So we're right at 56%. We're exactly where we want to be. We want to keep that going up. All right. We've all but secured a winning record this season. You know, we got week 17 and 18 left. They know the reset for the playoffs. But 56%, absolutely great year so far. But we're going to jump. We're going to keep rolling. And we're going to jump right into this thing. My favorite number of the week, Bengals -3.5 versus the Broncos. Take the Bengals here. I'm not sure why it's only 3.5. To me, this should be a 4.5, 5-point spread. The Broncos kind of showed who they were over this past week. And it looks good early, as long as Sean Payton can keep Bo Nix on script. The minute it goes off script, it goes poorly. Pat Surtain can't guard everybody. So when it comes down to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and, you know, so on and so forth, he can only guard Chase. And I don't think there really is a guarding Jamar Chase. I think there's a slowing Chase down. But I don't think there's ever a guarding Jamar Chase. And so, but then if he's on Chase, who's guarding Higgins? You know, I just, you know, they kind of showed against the Chargers what they were in terms of, you can get Bo Nix off the script, you can get Sean Payton off the play sheet a little bit, off the plan script, Bo Nix tends to go downhill quickly. And that's what we saw. I think the Bengals are going to pressure him, get him off the script, make him get off of that 15, 20, 25 play scripts and try to feed Bo Nix info. And they went very short against the Chargers. I just don't think the Bengals are going to allow that. So Bengals -3.5 over the Broncos. Take the Bengals. Bills -10 at home versus the Jets. Take the Bills. This has the making for a blowout. This has the makings for one of those Bill games. You go, oh my God, are they the best team in football? I mean, this has the makings of one of those games where you look and it is 28-3 at halftime, and you're like, good God. You know, like, are the Bills the best team in football? I mean, that is how bad this game can get. The Jets are a joke. The Jets had amazingness happen for them, and they still found a way to only score 9 points.
They're a joke. I think the Bills are going to take advantage of them being a joke and run right over them. Josh Allen, I think he's going to have one of them games where it's like, he's the MVP of the league. I mean, this is a chance. This is a showcase game. Remember I talked about how it was a get right, get healthy scenario? If you are, I was talking about it a few people ago, but I was like, get right, get healthy game. Where they can blow them out the water and get right and get healthy. Like, you only play for so long. You really try some stuff out against another team, so on and so forth. Like, that's the kind of game the Bills could have here. Get right, get healthy, absolutely blow away the Jets early. Bills minus 10, take over the Jets. Vikings minus 1.5 over the Packers. This is just the belief the Vikings are going to win the game. It's hard to win by one in the NFL. I mean, 21-20 is like the most common of the scores, 14-13. Maybe anything other than that, it's really hard to win by one. And so if you win by two, you cover the spread kind of thing. So this is a faith that the Vikings are going to win the game. I know, I get it's in Lambeau. I get it. The Vikings are normally a dome team. However, they do live in Minnesota. So practicing, I'm sure they practice outside all week. Turn the AC up in the building, like all kind of stuff. Like, they try and almost trick your body into being accustomed to the cold. Nothing's Lambeau Field. Nothing's quite like the frozen tundra. However, there are some tricks of the trade that you could use to attempt to manufacture a freeze. And I think that is what the Vikings did all week. I think they're just better than the Packers. Just plain and simple. Defense travels. So I think the Vikings, I know the Vikings have the better defense. I'm going to go with the Vikings here, minus 1.5. Lions, minus 3.5 at the Niners. Take the Lions. The only reason why I'm not circling this as a get-right game is because I believe too much of Kyle Shanahan to disrespect him that way. But the Lions have a chance to roll here. Kind of what they did to the Bears, where he did a fake stumble into a pop pass. Yeah, like, I won't go that far and say that they're going to do that. However, it is very much on the table that they take their shots in this game and they wear out the 49ers here. It's in San Fran. So that leaves a possibility, just of a home field advantage situation. However, San Fran isn't the frozen tundra. So as far as home field advantage, it's going to be a cool day in San Fran. Cool day off the bay. Not a whole lot of home field advantage there. I've got the Lions here winning comfortably, so Devin minus 3.5. And the Commanders minus 4 against the Falcons. The battle of rookie quarterbacks, I believe in Jane Daniels much more than I believe in Michael Penix Jr. I believe in what the Commanders are attempting to do a lot better than I do than what the Falcons are doing. They feel like they're kind of skipping steps in a plan, trying to make sure and hoping the plan still works. You look at the angle at which a lot of the throws were for Penix. It was a lot of, kind of to the sideline type stuff. I'm sure the Commanders are going to be jumping everything early, especially if that pass rush and get home. So it'll be a very interesting game. But I've got the Commanders here, minus 4. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the best player on the field. But just to recap, I have Bengals minus 3.5 over the Broncos, Bills minus 10 over the Jets, Vikings minus 1.5 over the Packers, Lions minus 3.5 over the Niners, Commanders minus 4 over the Falcons. Now up next, we're going to shift to college football and talk about that 12-team playoff. Welcome back into the show. And now we're going to get into the college football playoff round one. Now, this was an interesting situation. I was kind of torn and going back and forth how I wanted to even come at this topic. But I just decided to go with the general, a lot of the narrative I've been seeing. So a lot of the narrative I've been seeing out there is, oh my God, 12-team playoff is so bad, and look at these blowouts, and so on and so forth. Okay. Let's back it up. In college football, the gap between 5 and 12 is a lot bigger than the NFL between gap between 5 and 12. Let's start off with that. Okay? Let's start off with that. Secondly, I don't mind the 12-team playoff. I'm actually a huge fan of the 12-team playoff. I felt like in certain scenarios, an expanded playoff would have been good. Think in the year TCU ends up to the national championship game against Georgia. I think TCU might have got weeded out earlier. I'm thinking LSU-Alabama game of the century part two, where LSU and Alabama are playing each other again in that championship game without anybody else having a shot at it. I think that would have been a year for an expanded playoff. LSU smashing Oklahoma smithereens in 2019. I think that would have been a good year for expanded playoffs. Like, I mean, there's been scenarios where it's like, okay, an expanded playoff is useful in this spot. And then to me, it's always beneficial. It's always, to me, a matter of how it was going to get done. I don't mind the 12 teams that are in. I'm perfectly fine with that. Because if you're going to tell me the SEC deserves to get in because one team has three losses and the other has two, you better have damn good three losses. When each one of your losses is getting smashed by Oklahoma or in Vanderbilt and losing to Vanderbilt, and then the other one you got smashed by somebody else that was underranked. Like, Ole Miss and Bama have horrible losses. Two of the three losses Bama has is to Vanderbilt and getting thrashed by like five-win Oklahoma team. It's not like the other loss came to Texas, Georgia, and Tennessee. You know, the three playoff teams. You're like, okay, well, everybody else lost them too. Like, you know, that's a better scenario. But getting thrashed by Vandy in Oklahoma, like, dude, shut your mouth. So I'm perfectly okay with the 12 who were in. The issue is how the 12 were seeded. I think you need to put the 12 teams in. So you have the five champions, the four Power Four champions, and the group of five champion. And then you have your seven at largest. Once those 12 are put together, I think you reseed from there. I dislike the bye rule, top four conference champions get a bye. I dislike that rule. Because you punish the better conference. So like SMU and Boise State, not SMU and Boise State, Arizona State and Boise State are bye teams because they're a conference champion, but they're not as good as Texas and Penn State, who had to play first round games. Okay. And Notre Dame had to play a first round game. Those would have been the four teams in the bye. The bye should have been Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas. Those should have been the four teams with byes. I think Penn State would have had to play a first round game. Boise State would have hosted. Arizona State would have hosted. But those have been the first round team with byes. It makes no sense why you are rewarding weaker conferences. That doesn't do any good. So I'm fine with the 12 who are in. I just dislike how the byes were handed out. Because I think that if the first round battle is instead of SMU freezing in Happy Valley, well, that might as well happen. I'm trying to think. Instead of Tennessee at Ohio State, that game very well could have been Tennessee at Boise State. Okay, now let's see. That game could have very well been SMU at Arizona State. You know, I'm trying to think of what the other game was. Notre Dame, who they thrash. Indiana. That game could have been Indiana at Boise State. Okay, let's see what I'm saying. So you may not have had the sticker price in the first round. However, it would have very much been an intriguing first round. And then the winner of those games, then you start running into your dogs, you know, your sticker shot guys, your Penn State, your Notre Dame's, your Ohio State's, etc. Because to me, there's two teams that are going to get outclassed in the playoffs. That's Boise State and Arizona State. They're just going to get outclassed in these games, and there's not really much they can do about it. It's not the fact that, you know, Texas has Arizona State and a new tight in the Peach Bowl. Texas is going to roll. Penn State draws Boise in the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State should dominate them. Ashton Gentry's good, but he's by himself. So it's like, And then Ohio State and Oregon, rematch of that classic game, is going to be in the Rose Bowl. Ironically, a traditional Pac-12 team and a traditional Big Ten team are going to meet in the Rose Bowl. That's fun. And then Notre Dame plays Georgia in the Sugar, which, again, is very stereotypical. Georgia draws as the SEC team, draws the Sugar, usually versus an at-large opponent. Doesn't get much more at-large than an independent in Notre Dame. So these are going to be incredibly interesting games. Texas, even having to play two games, is kind of rough. Same way, in my opinion, with Notre Dame. Because to me, Notre Dame drawing Georgia when they probably should have had the bye and then drew Boise. It's a little bit different feel to the playoff. So I'm fine with the 12. The 12 is not the issue. The issue is how the 12 are seeded, what winning a weaker conference could give you. And that's the part I don't like. I think you need to clean up how and not necessarily what. 12 teams is fine. Just clean up how the seeding is arranged. But up next, we're going to talk about Best for Last, which is going to be a quick discussion on Hard Knocks. Welcome back into the show. Welcome to our Best for Last segment. We're going to talk about Hard Knocks today. The NFL in-season Hard Knocks at that, covering the AFC North. If I was the Bengals or the Browns, specifically the Bengals, I would have fought to blow this up. I would have fought against this with everything I had. Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. Oh my God, compared to Kevin Stefanski and Zach Taylor, specifically Zach Taylor. Kevin Stefanski holds his own. But against Zach Taylor, it's like, my God. Like, Mike Tomlin, it's all business, all the time. Leader of men. Like, it was his pre-practice, pre-meeting, like, little three-minute hype speech. And I was, like, about to run through a wall. John Harbaugh feels like the uncle that you know is right. It's just he delivers it kind of cornerly, but like, you know, he's 1,000% right. And so you go do what he wants to do. Kevin Stefanski is the older brother who's really, really smart and left to go to college when you were young. Now he comes back with like all this knowledge. He knows what to do. He just don't know how to necessarily apply it. It just goes to the left, but he knows exactly what he wants to happen. And then Zach Taylor's the useless slug on the side of the wall. I don't understand why Zach Taylor's in this. I don't understand how he gets a job. He doesn't motivate you, and he's, like, not good at coaching. Like, he's not good at situational coaching. I'm not sure how he has a job at this point. But he does. Whatever. But it definitely shows, even in a division like the North, the AFC North, that's so interconnected and so intertwined, and so much of their history loops over this one and loops over that one, and it's just wild, right? And so that is, you know, it's fun to watch it kind of unfold, especially because it's in season, so you kind of get them adjusting week to week as far as a real game and not just preseason, not roster situations. It is a real game scenario. Especially because the Steelers are going to be in division the entire show. They're going to be playing somebody in the division. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to continue to keep watching it and enjoying it with the rest of you. But that is all I have for the day. Whole lot of football talk. Sorry, my basketball guys, but a whole lot of football talk. We'll talk a little basketball probably later in the week, especially after the NBA slate of games on Christmas. We'll talk a little basketball. But shout out Paige and Juju. I will mention that on a hell of a showdown between those two. When USC took down UConn, hell of a showdown between two future pillars of the women's game. But again, that is all I have for you guys today. This is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.